And welcome back to Coast, Bill Sweet with us. We are going to take your phone calls as we talk about prayer, questions, and even your stories when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Bill Sweet. Bill, are there psychic consequences behind prayer?
Well, there certainly could be. The thing is that every action gets a reaction. We know that. And the more you get, involved in the paranormal, the more that you will find that there are ramifications to your life. Now, there's a few people that have been able to avoid getting into trouble, but when you get into this, you end up losing friends, it affects reputations, and it does all kinds of things. And then that's why some people, we think, who have had psychic experiences, and then the defense mechanisms come up. One reason some of them don't have anything to do with it is because of these ramifications that are going on around the edges, because they have things happen to them. There's a movie that brings this out great. I'm glad you said this. Have you ever seen the movie Hereafter, directed by Clint Eastwood?
Hereafter? I don't think I have.
Well, there's a lot I could say about that. The movie didn't do well, but we and parapsychologists and different people we've talked about, we think maybe the reason the movie didn't do well is because it was too close to how psychic things work. It's about this woman journalist who has a paranormal experience, and then everything in her life changes for the terrible, for the bad, because she had this experience. All her friends drop away from her, and it's a great movie. It might make a great discussion sometime.
Yeah.
You've never heard of a Clint Eastwood movie not doing well.
No, I mean, it's superstar material.
Well, there's a reason. It's because it involves consciousness, and it's a little too close to how things actually work in the paranormal realm.
Interesting take. Let's take some calls here for you. Let's go to Mike, truck driving in Minnesota. Hello, Michael. Go ahead.
George, it's an honor and a pleasure talking to you. I've been listening to you guys for years.
Thank you.
First time calling in.
Appreciate it.
Being from Chicagoland area and being Italian, the whole Catholic thing, my go-to guy is St. Anthony.
You
when
got
I
it.
I pray to St. Anthony after God's a little busy. So I go to his helpers, and I talk to St. Anthony, and somehow he works.
How does he work, Bill?
Well,
praying to a saint.
We'd have to test it, but I know people have done things with icons, and I know of a case where somebody couldn't sell their house, and I don't know which saint it is.
That's St. Joseph.
Is that right?
Yeah, you bury him upside down.
That's what they did, and the house sold right away. I've heard all these
things.
It's
weird. Yeah, you say a little prayer, and bang.
By the way, this guy's from Chicago. Is that right?
Mike is, yeah. He's truck driving through Minnesota right now.
I wonder if he's heard that we have a Chicago prayer joke. A 100-year-old man prayed, God, let me live until the elections, so I only vote once. Now, some of your people maybe need an explanation on that. I don't know. Do you think they got it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, well, because
don't quit your day job, Bill.
All the people in the graveyards vote.
That's right. That's right. That's the old saying.
It's well known.
All dead people vote out there.
Yes.
Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to George in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hey, George, go ahead.
Hi, George. I have to write these questions down. If faith is intention in the belief of a higher power, then prayer is intention of the belief of that higher power. Which came first, prayer or faith? And I'll hang up.
All right. What came first, prayer or faith, Bill?
The chicken or the egg.
That's right.
Well, this actually has to do with the unconscious mind. What is going on in the unconscious mind? Is your unconscious mind full of real strong goal-directed thoughts? Is it full of faith? Is it full of intention? When we get into the unconscious mind, we are dealing with kind of a, like when we dream, it's kind of a collage. You don't quite know where things are. We don't actually know where things are in terms of past, present, and future, because the mind doesn't separate the past, present, and the future. It doesn't know one from the other. So it may be that it's different for different people. And I will say this, that there's a lot of evidence to show that children, when they first, through childhood and through a certain age, I know what happened to me until about 15 years old. They are naturally psychic and naturally spiritual, and there have been a lot of children who have prayed and gotten results, and they've done tests with children. So what is happening there? What comes first? What comes first there is an uncluttered mind, a mind that's not been educated away from believing in these things, and the intention and the faith are all kind of naturally there, and then they get covered up by society and culture and people actually telling them they shouldn't be doing it.
Greatest movie with prayer in it, It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. Classic.
Well, I can tell you a very interesting story about that.
Sure.
Because I know about it through my church.
Have you seen the movie?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I've seen it a million times.
Well, there was the director of the movie, getting back to depression. He got very depressed. I don't know if he got suicidal, but he was in a blue funk, and he asked somebody, what should I do? And they said, well, you should go talk to this Christian Science guy who works in Hollywood, a Mr. Peterman at the time. He was a Christian Scientist, and he went and talked to him, and he said, here's what you do to get out of your blue funk. He says, get involved in a movie that inspires other people and raises them up, and it'll turn around and inspire you. And that's what he did, and that became It's a Wonderful
Life.
Right.
It was not a box office success when it first came out.
I heard that.
But, layman, what a cult following afterwards.
Oh, I know it. But, you know, the really quality things in life are kind of funny like that.
I watch it every Christmas on DVD.
A lot of things that are good, the quality doesn't come through at first.
When you talk about prayer, and we've talked about some of the religious aspects of it, are you know, Jewish folks different from Hindus and those who practice Islam and Catholics? If they all pray, does it all work?
It's a terrific question. When Spindrift started, they didn't know what would happen. They thought there would be differences between the different people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe somebody will figure out something that how they all do their thoughts from their religious backgrounds is a little different. But what we found was, after many experiments, is that the quality of the thought and the nurturing and the spirituality of the person's consciousness, regardless of their religious background, had more to do with them getting a result than their denominational bias. Now, maybe somebody can test that subside. In other words, at first we thought there would be a difference between a Christian prayer and a Jewish prayer and an Islamic prayer and all that. And of course, if you look at it closely enough, you probably, if you do enough testing, you might, probably will come up with some differences. And what I just told you upsets some people who feel that only their religion
works.
And yeah. This gets into another whole area. So, oh, no. God only listens to this particular religion, not that. And so, well, we found that this has to do more with the spirituality of the individual consciousness of the person than it does their denomination. And that's kind of interesting. So it's very important we take care of our thoughts.
Let's go to Mimi in Midland, Texas. Hi, Mimi. Good morning.
Hi, George. I'm so grateful you took my call. I've just been losing my mind over this. I've got a story and a couple of comments. I'd
love to hear it.
In January 2018, I had had it. And at 2 a.m., I decided to go park on the train tracks, as I think
Maybe.
I decided to stop at a convenience store to get a drink because I didn't know when the train was coming. Went back out to my car, started it, and my radio, which had not worked in 2 years, worked. And I heard, guess who's voice? Yours.
Oh,
and you mentioned someone I had known in real life. And I forgot all about the train tracks in spite of everything.
Jeez.
Went home, sat in my driveway for 2 hours listening to you. And I am alive this day because of that. I had lost 12 members of my family in 4 years. My husband disappeared in the Yukon Territory. I got sick, went bankrupt over it, And that's why, even though I have a lot of faith, I just couldn't take anymore.
Maybe the angel sent us to you, huh?
Huh?
The angel sent us to you.
Yes, I think so. I don't.
Well, it's the power of the word, the power of the word. And he speaks words over the radio.
Yes, I don't think it was a coincidence. I think it was a God incident. But the other thing I wanted to say about prayer, since May 8, 1988, except for this one dark period, I've had so many incredible things happen. And you're right, George. One sanctified person with God is a majority.
That's right. That's
However, right. human belief, especially in large numbers, is incredibly powerful. But the sanctified person, it happens in a different sort of a way. And the results are infallible. But we should not be concerned at all with results because we don't know what is best. Only God does. In spite of the human belief, which operates in the ocean of consciousness, there is a personal God, which the first part of your program was about that. And a person who has been deeply sanctified, this is amazing. It comes through the crown of the head. I mean, you're conscious of it. And it became my custom in 1988 to get up every morning, get my coffee, sit there, and I didn't pray specifically. I just kind of sat in the presence of God, and I began to have what you would call remote viewing experiences, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what it was.
You were praying non-goal-directedly. It was a non-goal-directed prayer you were doing.
Yes. I mean, I know that God knows all things, and I don't know what's best. But this began to reach out and touch people in places that I had never even dreamed of. And I got proof of that praying. Is this just something going on in my subjective mind, or is it real? And I ran into a person that I had seen the whole thing while I was praying, and it showed me it was absolutely real.
Well, Mima, we're glad you're around still.
Well, I am too, really, even though things are still very difficult for me. But that's why I do call in, is I want to share what I've learned and what I've been given before I do leave.
Yeah, well, let's hope you're around for a long time and you keep giving us the words of wisdom, huh?
Well, you can take it to the bank or heaven, whichever comes.
You got it. Thanks, Mimi.
Thank you, George. Bye-bye.
What a story, Bill. My gosh.
Well, congratulations to you, see? That was really something.
Oh, that gets to you.
That makes your occupation worthwhile just on one call, doesn't
it? It does. It does. Absolutely. Now, you know, people talk to me about, we do two health shows a month, mm-hmm. and I do get some emails from people going, oh, no, not a health show. And I email them back and I say, one day you're going to be sick and we're going to give you information that will help you and you'll remember why I'm doing this. And sure enough, one person did get sick who was very down on this and emailed me back and said, I'm sorry, I screwed up.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, if anybody was critical of what you do, that would stop it right there.
Yep.
Too. You just gave an example.
In a heartbeat.
And again, this was associational linkage. She was linked to you. See that?
Yeah.
Now, we had a very interesting, talking about synchronicity, this is exactly a year old. Today's the 4th, and this is a story from March 8th of last year. Exactly a year. This shows you the power of linkage here to a celebrity. Danielle Washington was in Chicago a year ago, exactly, and he wanted to eat at this restaurant he knew about, and Danzel and his driver couldn't find the restaurant. Danzel asked people on the street, where is Leon's restaurant? He was told the restaurant had closed.
Uh-huh.
His story was reported in the Chicago media. So much attention was stirred up about Denzel Washington that the owners of the restaurant decided to reopen the restaurant. That is the effect of associational linkage connected to a celebrity. Leon's restaurant opened on March 8th a year ago.
I love it. And still going?
Yes.
That's super. And by the way, he's a great actor.
Oh, isn't he?
He is a great, great actor.
He is.
We got to get him on the show one day.
He did?
No, we will. I'd love to get him on.
Well, we'll just have to think of an angle and get him on.
Just his career.
Well, that's true. That's true. I don't know if he has any paranormal interest, but he might. He's been in several paranormal movies.
Because I'm sure he's out here.
Yeah.
Remember that movie he was a pilot and he flew the plane upside down?
Yeah.
And saved everybody? Called Flight or something? Was that it?
And again, this gets back to the defense mechanisms and the psychic stuff, because then he got criticized. Then they had a whole hearing.
To destroy him because they said he was a drunk or something.
Right.
Let's go to Sue in Sacramento. Hi, Sue. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I've got probably a different prayer story. I'm allergic to cats, but I wanted to get a kitten, and she was a foster kitten, and she had a heart problem, so I wanted to take her in and be a foster mom for her. And I thought, well, if I keep her in the other room, I'll be okay, you know, with her, and I'll brush her a lot and try to tolerate her. And within a week, I was really having bad symptoms. So I called up the lady I got her from and said, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be able to keep her. She's really affecting my allergies more than most cats do. And so she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought it was going to be too good to be true. It was just a perfect home for her. And so I said, okay. She says, I can't take her back, though, because it's at Christmas time and my son's coming out and stuff, and you're going to have to wait about a week. I said, okay. So my mom and I, it was a Sunday night. We went to church that night. We went to communion. We didn't know that each other were praying, but we both prayed that I'd be able to keep this kitten. Well, when I got home that night, my symptoms were a lot less, and as over time it got less and less. I called the lady. I said to the lady, "Hope you don't think I'm strange," I said, "but I'm going to keep her." I said, "We went to communion, and for some reason I'm not reacting to her that bad, and I've had her now for 3 years, and I'm fine."
And you know, allergies, nothing, huh?
Well, I do still a little bit, but nothing, something that I can tolerate.
Right, you're not asthmatic or anything like that.
No. And it's the weirdest thing. And my mom says, well, I guess God wanted you to keep that kitten.
I love it. That's a great story, too. Almost at the break here, Bill, but it's amazing how these things happen.
I was going to say, one of my favorite cartoons is a cat is in a doctor's office, and the doctor says to the cat, I'm sorry, it's curiosity.
I love it. All right, stay with us. We're going to come back with final phone calls with Bill Sweet. His book is called A Journey into Prayer, Pioneers of Prayer in the Laboratory, Agents of Science or Satan. You've been hearing what we've been talking about the really magnificent ability of prayer. But as he said, the negative prayer, too, does have its effect and does work. And that's something I really didn't know. I always thought negativity backfired. Maybe it does sometimes in the long run. We'll be back in a moment with the rest of your calls. And welcome back to Coast, Bill Sweet with us. Bill, where do we continue to get your book, A Journey into Prayer?
Well, the best way to get it is go to the Spindrift website, spindriftresearch.org, and hit book. That'll do it. It's all the links to my publisher there, Ex Libris, and the links to Amazon.com. A Journey into Prayer is hardback, softback, and in Kindle form. And it's full of all kinds of information on parapsychology, consciousness, the Spindrift story, and there's a big index. You can research this there. By the way, if people have a short attention span like they do, the book is two books. If you start on page 330 of the book, that's a short version of the book to the end. Some people have more patience for all the details. They can start at the beginning. So it's actually two books in one.
What does this tell you about the power of prayer, the fact that based on your studies, it seems to work? What does that tell you? What are we tapping into?
Well, we're tapping into, you were talking about unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm.
The Klingbeil family said, you know, the world might not be ready for it because we are going to be showing that thought has power and the power of prayer has power. But along with that comes a barrage of negative power, thought has power too. So we have to take that in too. So the world's going to find out that these things are happening in a modern age, which people didn't think it would happen. Just everything's technology and inventions and virtual reality. But there's also this too. And that's going to have to come into play too, because thought affects things. And when people realize that, it's going to shake up a lot of people. And you were asking me before the break about negative prayer.
Yeah.
I have a quote here by John Kleinweil that's kind of interesting. He said, "We hear a lot about clean energy today. There are people who pray negative thoughts. They need to clean their energy." That's a great quote.
That is a good quote. All right, back to the calls we go. Let's go to Isaiah in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Isaiah, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Noy. Good morning, Mr. Sweet. What an extraordinary program, as usual.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to say something really quick with regards to the former caller, Ms. Meany, I believe it was. It's very true, Mr. Noy. There's possibly multitudes, millions of people probably, sir, directing to you, that would love just to share with you a few seconds of really how they believe that you have been a very big vessel to be able to be such a blessing in their life at the right moment, in the right situation. So know, Mr. Noy, that we have people that are praying for you.
Thank you.
We really bless you, and I really believe that great things are coming your way within the next few weeks, and to your family also as well. I just wanted to share that, because you're a very humble gentleman, but we have to give honor to whom honor is due. So I just want to thank you publicly for that opportunity, because you have been a blessing to so many people.
Thank you.
Well, I want to go real quick. The information that I have myself have encountered with prayer, I see that with regards to prayer, I really believe that there has to be some type of conviction, faith, or belief with regards to the deity or the person or what a person is praying. For instance, we take a very popular prayer, like when Jesus was praying, said, "Our Father who art in heaven." And when we see that, we realize that the first few words that Jesus speaks is in reference not to something necessarily or to a faraway being just waiting for somebody to do something wrong, to go ahead and hit them over the head and send them to the worst place. But we see that Jesus begins to refer to the person he's praying to as a father. So I noticed that in prayer, when we come to the deity, if you will, or the person that we believe that is omnipotent, omnipresent, omnipotent, or whatever the situation may be with regards to us praying to that specific person or belief, there has to be effective prayer, there has to be a relationship. That's something that, as we see, there has to be, because when people are praying, whatever it may be, whether it be positive thoughts or something or declaration, the word of a prayer, they're not praying for somebody that's in the same equal place as you are. We're looking for somebody or something that's in a higher power, a higher level, because we're wanting to see something or somebody do what it is impossible to us, what we're limited to. So when I myself personally believe in God myself, when I pray to God, I am saying, "God, I've done the possible, and I come to you asking for you to do the impossible." So I really believe that true effective prayer, there has to be a relationship. If you believe in the God that you say, or the person that you say, there has to be some type of faith that you're praying to this person, not just because you don't have anything else to do, but because you believe that this.
You mentioned conviction. You mentioned conviction. This has to do with associational linkage. Yes, the stronger your conviction, the more you build up associational linkage. You might be interested on the website, spindriftresearch.org. On the menu, it says linkage. Read that about linkage, and you'll see that that's about conviction.
There's something about intention, too. What do you think about that?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. You could think of what comes first is probably a natural ability underneath all of us in our unconscious mind. I think we all have natural, psychic, spiritual, and intuition underneath us. Then on top of that, we probably have our belief system that we get educated into, and then we take that and we put it into an intention. And then how strongly we believe in that intention is the conviction. And all these things work together to work as a beam toward a goal or a non-goal. In either way, conviction helps us reach our plateau, and the quality of our thoughts has to do with how the result is just a result, or if it's a really good quality result.
Let's go to Todd in Columbus, Ohio, first-time caller. Hey, Todd, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
I guess what I'm going to present is my son was a Marine in Afghanistan, and I had a perception or a feeling that he was in danger, and I was at a Christian camp at the time, and I was walking through their chapel in the woods, and I just felt this sense of dread, doom, whatever, and I'm a pretty stoic guy, but I was walking my dog, and I sat down in the wooded chapel in the woods, and I essentially broke down and cried. I just, and I begged God to save his life. And fortunately, my son came back without a scratch.
Oh, great. Excellent. Did he ever talk about a close call at all, Todd, while he was out there?
Oh, he had many. And on his first tour of duty, there was one call where he was separated from his guys, and another buddy came and got him. And it was actually on a National Geographic TV show where he was named in.
Well, somebody was listening to you.
Yeah, and I know that he was in prayer lists all across the country. We have a big family and friends, and I mean, he was being prayed for on a regular basis.
That's beautiful.
That's great.
Beautiful. You're going to come see us on May 11th?
I'm sorry?
You're going to come see us May 11th?
Oh, yeah.
Great, because we'll have a great meet and greet after that. We've got a live show, Bill, at Columbus, Ohio on May 11th.
Well, you know, that'll be great.
Looking forward to that, too.
Well, I like Columbus. They have great music in Columbus, great jazz music.
They sure do. They sure do.
Now, the previous caller mentioned that everybody's praying for you in the audience. Do you ever feel support from the audience?
It's my strength.
That's terrific.
It is absolutely my strength. You know, when my father died and my sister died, I went on the air those nights. Most people take them the day off. I needed it. It's my strength, and you know, without dwelling on it.
And you could feel it coming back, huh?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I really could. I mean, it was my therapy.
So that probably explains too how you can stay up these late hours too.
That I have been doing for years. I don't know what it's like to be up too early.
Oh, okay.
You know. Let's go to Helen in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Helen, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George. I'm going to try to talk quickly because there's something wrong with my phone that's never happened before.
Uh-oh. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if you can hear the static. I wanted to tell you thank you for all those many, many, many nights that you have carried me through some dark, dark nights the last many years. Before I tell you the story, but I have my little miracle right beside me here in bed that last year, the day before my birthday, she went in the hospital and nobody thought she was going to live. Nobody knew what was wrong with her. And I honestly was so scared she was never going to come out again. And I prayed. And you would not believe, I think I didn't stop until I went, you know, until I brought her home.
Oh, it worked, didn't it?
It did, and it was very strange. The veterinarian took her day off, went in to the hospital, and stayed with her on Sunday.
Oh, that's great. Prayer works. It works. What we've got to talk about on another show, Bill, is the negative prayer that still works. That baffles me.
Okay.
I mean, it really...
Well, it's disappointing, but unfortunately, we have to be aware of it.
Because I thought it wouldn't work, but I guess it does.
Oh,
well, what's the power that allows negativity to work? Is it the devil who's working in tandem with good?
Sometimes, and then just some people are bad people. They don't even need any help. So the devil just uses his little finger on them because they're bad enough. But yes, the world system seems to be tied into waves of negativity. And the spiritual power that comes through prayer is kind of outside of the world system, so it has to come into the world system. So the negative prayers and thoughts are already here, whereas the quality and the Christ power has to come from another realm into this thing. So it's you have these two conflicts in two sources that are always going at each other. And some people, unfortunately, think they're doing one when they're really doing the other.
It's like a curse. Curses seem to work, don't they?
Yes, they do.
All right, my friend. Thanks for being on the program, Bill.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great show, and I'm so happy that people appreciate you so much.
Bill Sweet. His website, of course, is spindriftresearch.org, which we've got linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. For Michael Cosio, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Badal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.